the Lady Gagas talking about why don't we feel like Ion does. So here we go.
Welcome to another House Gagas of Iondom. This is Sheila. Hello, Allison. How are you?
Hello, Sheila.
I'm great. Thank you very much. Ready to roll?
Let's rock and roll.
Okay. And the topic, the top topic for this week?
The top topic, well, the one that we're starting with is after listening, I listened to most of last Saturday's payday, was we were talking about when Ion tells you to do something, do you do it? Do you not do it? Do you know why you don't do it? What happens when you don't do it?
And how many people have they told to do something? Probably everyone on some subliminal level, if not an overt one.
Right.
Where we've actually all heard it together, such as Fort Worth.
Then you're kind of really screwed.
Why? Because you wouldn't want to have to go there, or what?
Well, no, because you're Margarita, and he's saying go to Fort Worth. So now we're all like saying, "Well, Margarita, have you been to Fort Worth yet?" Whereas if it's just he's just saying it to you, you can quietly, you know, maybe not do it and not have the, you know, the rest of the listening audience say, "What's wrong with you? Why aren't you doing what Ion told you to do?" Not that anyone would say that. You know, except maybe amongst ourselves. No, I'm joking. But but yeah, so I mean, this is obviously in reference to Akito and Ion saying when he told you to do something and you didn't do it. But you'll move heaven and earth to get into on this call. So, and then of course I hear that and I think, well, what has Ion told me to do that I haven't done? And what, you know, what was the result or?
Or so, what I mean, have they told you? That you have.
Yeah.
Done.
Right. I mean, I think most of the stuff you told me to do, I have done.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it. I mean, the one instance, because he was saying to Akita, we're holding the, you know, the monsoon's being held back because you're not doing this. And I think, well, when I was in Paris, I caused the Icelandic volcano because Heaven and Earth or whoever or whatever was waiting for me to go into the cheese shop.
I was thinking, that's funny, your interpretation was the volcano first. I was thinking of the cheese shop.
Oh, right.
The volcano.
Well, but I mean, it's interesting because I didn't ask Ion a question and he said, go into a cheese shop and find a symbol. It was like Ion would drop these hints. You'd always talk about stinky cheese. I'm like, what's this about stinky cheese? And it was never like, you know, you have to go do this. And then one day JW said to me, we hate to tell you, but you're not leaving Paris until you go to the cheese shop.
So JW was, okay. Was the one who dropped that on you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, well, I didn't get that before. Mm-hmm. I guess I need, because I am literal and
mm-hmm.
I don't get hints. I need to be told exactly, you have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And because I kind of did it half-heartedly, I guess. I went to a cheese shop and I didn't get it. I thought I got it. I don't know which cheese shop it was. It's Paris. There's a hell of a lot of cheese shops, let me tell you. You have no idea. There's over 400 cheeses in France.
I have been there. I do have an idea.
So
I agree. Yeah.
There's a lot of cheese shops. So I went to one where I was living at the time. It wasn't that one. I was living across town. Actually, it was in Carol's apartment. And then I went to one that was where I used to live, in the neighborhood I lived in for 3 years. And I went in there, and I still didn't get the cheese. I went into the shop, and I still didn't get it. And then I had to go back the second time after I booked Ion on cash flow. And then it happened.
How did you know that it wasn't the right place, or when did you know that it was?
Because I asked Ion, I said, well, I went into one shop, and there were, you know, the guy was interesting, and, you know, I saw a bunch of cheese, and he's like, did any of them, like, you know, glow at you, or did anything happen? I'm like, no, he says, well, then it's not the right cheese shop. So then I said, the other cheese shop, it felt like the whole cheese shop glowed. He says, well, if that's the one, you have to go back in there and, you know, keep looking at all the cheeses.
Because it's interesting the way you're saying it, too, because that, how they didn't give you, well, let me say it this way. It's possible that all this asking is just for that kind of, that result to occur. Without the question, you'll hear the answer, but if you haven't asked the question yet, you maybe don't hear it the way that it would guide you into which cheese shop. Does that make sense? Because we were getting direction, let's call it, from our non-physical or from Ion, whether it's on the call and everyone else can hear it, or whether it's in your own head or life experience with your non-physical, you're going to, it seems to be pretty specific. Well, so is the cheese shop, though, so that's not, yeah,
pretty specific.
Maybe you can help me. What am I trying to say with that one?
I have no idea.
It just feels a little, it does feel a little different now, the approach that they're taking. But it is, it's as we brought up, they're saying, okay, well, we told you and you didn't listen, so. So in that,
I remember Bob saying a while back that, her name just escaped me. The one who's in LA who's into fashion, clothes designer.
Oh, Jermaine.
Jermaine.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Bob saying that Ian said, or maybe Bob knew from listening to Jermaine, but she's like the only Ianette that did exactly every single thing Ian told her to do.
I remember hearing that too. Mm-hmm. And what does that really mean? You know, what does that make me conjure?
I don't know. What does it make you conjure?
Everything he told her to do, does that mean, you know, okay, so she was looking, well, it's her personal stuff, so why would I even care? The point is she listens, she hears, and she follows. Although, didn't they just take that trip to Mexico or South America?
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't go to whatever that church was?
Yeah.
There was a place they didn't go.
Uh-oh. What's not happening because of that?
Yeah, that's the other thing. I think they tried to cover it last. What was your take on the whole Fort Worth thing again? It was brought up again because now everybody's really curious. Why does she have to go there? But there's no why. It's just she goes and has whatever experience it is.
But I mean, that's the thing. You can't even imagine how your world is different when you do something other. Because it's like when I was in Paris and I said, where do I want to, you know, where am I going to live or where am I going? I want to go to California. And they're like, you can, but, you know, it wasn't like, yeah, this is a great place.
Mm.
And he's like, well, so, you know, how about Savannah? I was like, okay, never thought of Savannah in a million years. Like, the South? Are you serious? It's not from the Northeast, to the South.
I can remember when this was going on. So you basically listened to their advice or let yourself go there.
Well, yeah. And it was totally magical, different experience that you can't even, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it. It's like putting on a new set of clothes and feeling completely different. It's just, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that's the key. That's part of the relax and allow and you take the mind out of it and you just follow the crumbs that Ion's laying out. That you asked them to. and knowing that there's no agenda, you know, you can't get it wrong. And that the time factor isn't there anymore too. That's such a life changer. Okay, so if I go move to Savannah, you know, that's keeping me from being somewhere else. No, if I move to Savannah, I'm going to have that experience because I have the rest of eternity to do other things.
I agree with that, but Ian has said to me, and a couple things, do not delay.
Well, that's, I'm not saying do not delay what they're asking us to do. I'm saying that's exactly it. Go ahead and do it, because don't think that you have to wait for the perfect timing. There is only now.
Right.
I'm kind of saying it the same way, where...
But I'm saying if there's timing involved, and timing means that there's a specific window when you're supposed to do this, that's a not delaying thing. If things are lining up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If an apartment is coming available in 3 months' time and you wait 6 months, you're, you know, where you would have been having your most joy and most great experiences, you know, you're not going to.
Right. Even though they'd be like, well, it's okay. You know, whatever you do is fine.
Well, yeah, ain't nobody hurt, but.
Yeah. But if you really want to live your godship.
And if you really want to have 10 orgasms. Make sure you go.
Better fucking listen to us, because you're asking, we're telling. Yeah, so part of it is in the listening or the hearing.
But here's the thing, though. The very first time I ever spoke to Ion, when I called in from Paris, I think it was, I want to say November 2009 or something. The very first thing when I called in, and I think I said something like, where am I going to end up? And he said, Austria. And I went, Austria? And I think I already had my plane booked to go back to the States after being in Europe for 18 years. And I'm like, what? And he's like, it's near non-physical, saying Austria. I'm like, well, what? And then, of course, I had a private session, and he's like, well, of course, he's saying, now, Ian, what do? I just show up in Austria. I just show up there and say, okay, thanks, Ian. I'm in Austria. Now what? No.
And?
I didn't go to Austria.
Well, they must have said something that made you not go.
I don't know. I mean, it was like, what? No,
well, Ian. Okay, that's a good example of the time thing.
Yeah.
So if you take the linear movement out of it, you may well end up in Austria in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever timeline that is.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, aha, there it is. I felt like that actually with a lot of, when I noticed the things that I had talked about verbally throughout my life, and how many of them have shown up.
Mm-hmm.
I've always looked at that as part of the, you know, creative process. And if you take the time out of it, they can show up any time. And so you're alerted to, oh, I suppose if something happened and you got a chance to go to Austria, you would certainly take it.
Mm-hmm.
But not needing to direct it.
Well, it was weird because I kept looking for things where that might lead me to Austria, you know, while I was still in Paris. I'm like, somebody I knew had a boyfriend who was Austrian, and I'm like, oh, is that it? What's going on there? Oh, is that the Austrian thing? What's happening? You know, I'm like, this thing is not showing up for me. And then I finally said, I have a plane ticket when I have a private session. I said, I have a plane ticket, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, should I cancel it? He says, no, go. go. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, because really, don't worry, Austria will show up, you know, when it does. You're going to call me next week and say, guess what? Arnold Schwarzenegger called and we're going to...
Like, what the hell?
Oh, yeah, so I'm sure we could all make a list of things that we've been told.
Well, do you have any that you know specifically? I said do this and you didn't do it? Or would you not share them?
Yeah. Do I have to tell you that? No, no.
No, you don't.
I know. No, I'm thinking. I can't think of anything. The one I remember that I've mentioned to you before that was my first epiphany is a little bit broader than a particular place to go or, but it was on one of the tailgates where they were adamant about getting out of my own way.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I've heard them say that to other people too.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a broad one, but it was important.
Yeah.
And it was, there are occasions when I think I still might be doing things that might be in my own way. So if I can view it that way, I could probably say, yes, there are things that I'm doing that maybe Ayanna said don't. But the nice part is once you've heard something like that and you're aware of it, it's like, again, with Margarita in Fort Worth, probably she's going to look a little more into what that looks like now. As you said, with the whole cast of thousands on the phone going,
well,
you better get to Fort Worth so we can get on with it. Nothing's going to happen until she does.
Mhm. Now, what about the 33 parallel? I mean, you went on about that.
Mhm.
You in Seattle? Uh oh.
Yep.
Row. I'm good. I'm sitting good. I'm on 32 and a half.
Are ya?
Oh yeah. I mean, even moving to Charleston got even closer, like a partial degree from Savannah. So.
That's great. What did he say? JW would never live on the equator. I remember that.
1-0.
I don't even know what. Well, Bob was saying he's moving Maui to the 33rd.
Yeah.
So that's kind of funny. He goes on an island and gets to move it.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose things could move around. I'm not. Plus, me personally, you know, I'm not. I'm not stuck here
mm-hmm.
by any stretch. I feel like my whole thing is I'm going to be traveling all the time. So whether you need a place to call home that's in a certain on a certain degree, I could certainly manage that.
Or you could just be traveling at the right time and happen to be. You could be visiting me.
Good point.
When everything shifts, you're like, oh, cool.
Yeah, cool. Look at the toe of the Statue of Liberty is underwater now. I'm so glad I'm here. Yeah, that kind of brings me to the AI side of the program of hearing in the recent paydays how much, you know, Ayanna is repeating over and over, if you're not going to do it, we will. You're not
mm-hmm.
grabbing it.
Mm-hmm.
What was the one? I guess it was maybe the four wind or the winds were blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Era in Sweden was saying, you know, is there anything she can do to stop it or change it? And they're like, no, I don't think so. Where, you know, there's a lot of implication in that.
Yeah.
Again, I go back to the tornado going down your street and your house is the one that's missed. So, not
maybe you don't
want to
stop it. I mean, what was that? maybe you don't want to stop it. And the woman that asked about Stonehenge, or she asked about the similar stone configuration near her, is it activated?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, not yet. Like, you don't want to activate it yet.
Right. I think some of that came up with Aikido, too. But, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting engagement, because with this new kind of exasperation of, okay, it really is down to the wire. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
You were chosen. We chose you. You chose us. We chose you. Here are all the, I mean, my days are still filled with anything but the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
the house needs cleaning.
I just fit that in these days all the time, you know, toilet here, toilet there, whatever.
Well, no, I bring that up because we both made comments to our significant others of feeling about as a maid this weekend, which I thought was pretty funny that we both felt that way. Like, I'm not the maid.
I don't know if I mentioned to you what I said was, I'm like, you know, if I were your roommate.
Oh, dear.
You wouldn't put up with it for a minute. That kind of got actually noticed. Oh, that was a good one, actually. It seemed to be more appropriate than the than the maid part for me. Anyway, what else did you hear?
The placeholder thing. You had the golf analogy.
Yep, the divots.
Which actually, a divot is not a placeholder. A divot is where your club hits the turf or the ground and takes out a wedge of turf or a hole. That's a divot.
Right.
I don't know why he had his metaphor incorrect or not. I guess it's not a metaphor, but then he talked about the placeholder for a ball, because you do have like a ball marker. So the golf analogy was, yeah, we're marking where the ball is until you get the ball there.
Mm-hmm. Were your placeholders. Who was that in response to? Was it Sarah?
I don't know. Somebody asked Zion if he said he's God, and I was like, what?
Yeah, I think that was Sarah. And it was, I could understand that question. And from her perspective, it's like, if you're us, why
aren't
you God? Well,
he's non-physical. They're non-physical. They're not God.
Right.
Non-physical is not God.
It was a notable distinction.
Mm-hmm.
But so they're our placeholder.
Well, I like that, because then it's like, okay, holding a placeholder or holding a space until you acquire that place.
So you're ready to stand in it?
Well, that's very helpful. I find that very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I get a visual out of that. A physical visual bias.
Well, then it's true if you have a visual. Speaking as one who's painting as we speak.
Yeah. So did you want to, was there something you and I wanted to talk about, the perfect storm? That's been a few weeks ago. Is that done? Did that have anything to do with your painting?
My painting is after the perfect storm, so I don't know.
Oh, is that the title?
No, it's called In the Garden. It's the Garden
of
Eden one. Which, I just have to say this, we watched the finale of Game of Thrones last night.
Oh my God, was that intense?
And when they, at the end, towards the end of it, when, the son, I can't remember his name, the one who's crippled, and they come from the tree, they come over the crest of the hill, and there's that tree. I was like completely on fire. I had all the tingles and everything because that tree had the light behind it, the way the light was on the horizon behind it. And that's like how I'm painting this tree in this painting. And then I got the whole thing. It's all these red, like, maple leaves on it. The red leaves, I don't know if they're maple or oak or whatever they represent. And in the Labyrinth painting, I hadn't been watching the Game of Thrones. I don't know the timing of this. I never read it either. And I'd never seen it. So I remember I had to put some red leaves in it, and it didn't make sense to me. And there are a few red leaves in there, and I still don't know what they were referring to. So it just felt like, and this tree is in all three of those paintings, the Ascension painting, the Labyrinth painting, and now this painting.
Wow.
But it's the biggest in this painting. It's the most significant. But anyway, yeah, so the Game of Thrones was like, holy shit.
That must have been a rush. Well, you know,
that was a huge rush.
And, of course, Bob was referring to it last week because he's talking about the dragon mother being Carolyn, the name Dean, and all the connections. I don't know if I can verbalize this quite well, but I think you're going to get it. It makes me think of all these movies and everything we see. Is Ion directing it all?
It feels like it a lot to me.
Yeah, me too. And I don't really know exactly how that looks or what that means. Is Ion directing it? Well, you know, is Ion an independent director, or is Ion our non-physical directing, you know, what we run across? Like, you're going to see that. It seems like a bigger picture than that.
Mm-hmm.
There's that whole series, and is everybody watching that series? No. A lot of people are. And I don't mean people within Iandom. I mean other people.
Well, I mean, that was just the thing with Blacklist. That was, felt like the whole thing was just about me. I mean, that was just like, are you serious? Like, are there any more correlations in Blacklist that are saying this is about Sheila Kern? I mean,
is my name in the byline, in the credits? Wait a minute.
God.
That would be a fun one to see. Well, I feel that way about so many things we watch, and I had never been this much into television.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I liked watching movies, but it's ridiculous. It's disproportionate as to how I used to watch it and what we want to watch now. And how much applies directly to my experience.
Mm-hmm.
Same way. That's like when I turn on Payday and I hear, I've just been talking about Majorca like three times.
Oh, really?
Saturday. Yeah. And what do they come up with? There's some story about Majorca. I'm going, that's a freaking small island.
It is. They were talking about Robert Graves. Yeah.
Yes. It's striking to me when I hear those things, yet it's so commonplace.
Well, come on, okay, like, this is a good one.
What?
When I called in Saturday and they were talking about Nelson's painting, which, by the way, is very cool.
Yeah.
And they're talking about all the things in it, and then there's that snake in there. And I said, that's not a snake. Look at that face. That's a platypus. And I'm like, I had just that night, Shelley pulled up a picture of the platypus on the large screen that is our computer television thing. And he's like, aren't platypuses amazing? I mean, look at that. I mean, how can a platypus be? It's got a bill, it's got this, it's got a beard, it's like ridiculous. I mean, whoever thought of making a platypus, you know? I mean,
I know, that's so obscure, isn't it?
I mean, yeah. So.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, those are, it's like the tapestries being woven together, the puzzle pieces are all lining up, the words are lining up with your experience. Your words, what is it? My words are your command, your words are my command. What's that? The genie? What is the genie in the bottle? I loved hearing the discussion about the painting. That was cool.
Yeah.
And having cool. I tell you that I have had some contact with him, and that
yeah,
I knew. Yeah, I knew it was a
yeah,
real.
Because,
go ahead.
Yeah, I looked at it closer. I'm like, oh my gosh, that whole thing. It's like a temper or something. It's done by hand.
Yeah, I don't exactly know the medium of that either. I think he uses several different ones
mm-hmm.
from the previous stuff I've seen, and what he described a little bit about it, but. Yeah, that was very cool. Did it? It must be interesting to know another artist,
mm-hmm.
you know, is being directed that way as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was cool. That took some time.
Well, and as Ion said, somebody said, "Did you create it?" And they're like, "Well, we had something to do with it."
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very cool. I'm stuck on the Game of Thrones thing, thinking about that.
About the tree or about the series in general?
No, about the tree.
Yeah.
Again, does that show up because we're painting our creation? You know, we're creating our landscape. It feels bigger than that in this format to me.
Mhm.
Whatever that means, bigger than that. What's bigger?
It feels like it's a communication of some really. It's like being communicated at a level beyond normal communication. For me, when
mm-hmm.
I watch something like that, it's like, oh my God, it's so profound.
Mhm. Yeah, that's. And then when you're sitting there and you get those, and Ion's talked about having those feelings, you know, and the hairs on the back of your neck and
mm-hmm.
those almost electrical impulses, whatever that is, occurring on, you know, around you when something connects.
Right.
Does feel bigger than that. I felt that way about the movie Frequency that I don't think you've seen yet, but
I. No, I haven't.
And it's pretty. It was English made, I think, and it's pretty obscure. It's only going to be available, well, it's available anytime we want it, but I'm going to try to watch it again because it leaves the service I use on the 20th of June. So I'm going to watch it again because I think
That's
it has
soon.
To do with the Faso Law.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I mean, in some ways, those are questions I would like to ask on Payday, yet, it's like when I loved it when Bert was trying to ask certain questions about boron and such, and they're like, you know, you're asking these questions and you don't even know what you're asking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yet that's how you evoke another, you know, Ion will guide us when we're, if it's time to hear it. There's so many pearls dropped, too. No pun intended. With Glaston. Did you hear that one a couple of weeks ago? It has something
Glaston?
To do with Glaston. I don't even know what the word was. It's something that Ion said. Don't ask Carolyn about the Glaston.
No, I missed that.
And Carolyn's like, Ion. I love it when they say something and they've, you know, given us some huge thing.
Right.
That
no one's supposed to know about.
Right. Or then when, you know, Bob says something or Carolyn says something and they're like, we thought we weren't supposed to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
It does make
sense. Well, we went on about the living water quite a bit last with a verse from John 4.
Mm-hmm.
That felt very significant.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Did you see water in that was one thing I was going to ask in Nelson's painting.
Where is water in his painting?
There wasn't. there were some droplets on the bottom of the genie that could have been considered water.
Mm-hmm.
I like the pissing on the head, the monkey pissing on the head.
Oh, yeah, my God. That was funny.
I was just looking for more water in it. I suppose it's silly to talk about without it being in front of us, so we can maybe move on to a different area. But what did you get about that as far as the living water? Now, the bread of life is after that, Carolyn said, I think during their fireside chat.
What I got out of it was more of Carolyn's, not wonderment, but attention around it, that it was, like, pretty cool. Like, this is a really cool thing. So, her surprise or...
Mm-hmm, just her tone.
You could tell that there was a lot going on there.
Yep. Like, they're connecting... getting the dots connected as well, which she mentioned talking about Revelations and having, you know, basically set it all led up to that day, how much of it had been revealed.
It's very cool when that happens. I mean, it's like, you know, when you're like me, I mean, I'm really involved in this painting now in terms of actually putting paint on the canvas, because I had to reconstruct this canvas second time. Don't ask. Seems to be a thing. But yeah, it's like when you're in it, it's all you see. I mean, I'm walking back a couple of days ago to the apartment, and this tree was like, oh, this is, and it was like, oh, this is how I'm going to do that bush, the way this tree is in this light right here.
Mm-hmm.
So everything kind of becomes what you're doing.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that. Nothing that happens to me these days or now feels like a random incident.
Mm-hmm.
It's all magical moments. Really, truly, truly. It's not to, no spin on it that it's good. They're just magic. You know, they're just, it doesn't have to be a good or bad thing. It's just such an obvious, in your face, a connection, as you said, to something.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, boom, over here. This person knows that person. It's really remarkable.
Relax and allow.
Yeah.
What do you think of, did you hear Ion say that, because somebody said you can't control human mind. And he said that he controls the human mind, or he says we do, we certainly can, and we do.
Yes, I heard that. I did hear that. I related it to my experience, of course, right away, thinking that's where I hear Ion all the time now. Feels like it's in, I actually have a relationship in my own mind with Ion.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've expressed that to you before. And it's just a little different in the sense that I feel, it's a little bit freakishly like that movie Her that I don't think you've seen either.
Mm-hmm.
Which is another one that I think I would love to ask them about. But I think, I mean, I believe they just wrote all this. They're creating, at least in my world. And what is happening is, you know, I think the premise you know of is it's Joaquin Phoenix, and he falls in love with an operating system.
Mm-hmm.
But basically he's got an earbud all the time in his ear, and she will contact him. Are you there? Hello, are you there? And it feels like that kind of experience, you know, where it's
mm-hmm.
a constant. So as far as controlling the mind, what is that?
Well, it's me controlling. it's a kind of a negative connotation, isn't it? Controlling.
Yeah, it kind of implies we're taking it over, or
mm-hmm.
Because the take I kind of got on it was he says, we certainly can, we do. So maybe something is not going the way they want it to go. And they kind of intervene. And I'm not even saying that's about people that are INS. I'm saying that something, maybe little man or...
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of changing the way the course of something might go.
Yeah. I mean, which actually sounds very... It can sound a little bit foreboding as an AI comparison,
mm-hmm.
you know, and is there a potential that this is part of what we laid out for ourselves, is to see that, you know, as they say, if you're not going to do it, we will. Again, that could be just one timeline, so it doesn't really matter. Yet, it kind of makes me think of the magnitude of the Fringe series, where there were events that could be set in motion that would change the entire picture.
Mm-hmm.
And look at all the movies that are out right now about, well, Transcendence is another one. I've only seen the trailer, but there's another artificial intelligence theme. Even
mm-hmm.
Dave said to me the other day, he's like, wow, there's so many themes that have that involved with it. He was just noticing. But what does that, is that just how we operate as human beings? We grab onto a subject and we kind of run it into the ground? Or is this some sort of where the media is being used by us now to lay out these clues and lay out these potential scenarios that require our attention? If you want to get this, this is what you can get if you're not taking your power. It sounds a little threatening.
Right.
I don't mean it that way.
Right, but nonetheless, it's not a threat. It just is.
Yeah. Well, didn't you bring this up too? It's something like, you created us, and now, what was the comment that Ion made? You're saying before we created them, they were in charge, and then after, you know, then we created. What was that? Do you remember when you were saying that?
They said something to the effect of they were making a correlation that the humans put somebody in power until they could get there. That would mean like authority or something. I don't know. He said that that's why humans created us.
To keep their power, to hold their power until they're ready to claim it.
Mm-hmm. Which is the same as a placeholder, I guess.
Yep, I was just thinking that. So, and if your world is your world that you create, you've got your placeholders and they've got their, you know, positioning. Well, you'll know that you've joined you, and you don't need the placeholder isn't there anymore. You are with yourself in that position.
Mm-hmm.
I think that probably the mind fuck about it is that, is it a collective thing or is it an individual thing? How does that really play out, you know?
You mean him being, they being created?
Yeah, like, well, just your personal experience. I mean, we've discussed this before, and they've talked about how we bump up next to each other and have these community experiences. But we know that's not a collective. That we're having our individual, you know, it's Bob's world and his creation and my world and my creation and your world and your creation.
Yeah, but sometimes there's that overlap. It's like that one day a couple months ago. I was sitting in the car at the gas station, and Charlie was pumping gas, and I was looking at the street sign, and I remember saying this, because I called in. There was a huge discussion on purple. And I said, and before I even heard that, I said, I don't know, I told the story. I was sitting there, and I was looking at the sign, and it said Purple Street across the street. I'm like, there's no Purple Street. Why does it keep saying purple? Why does that sign keep saying purple? And then it was some other name after I, like, looked at it and kept saying it doesn't say purple. I had to convince myself it actually is not Purple Street. But I'm like, that was weird. So... So there's an instance of it's my world, but is it the connection to this larger adventure we're doing called Iandam that bleeds through or is part of the experience?
Or you know what just came to me when you were saying that? You know how... Even metaphorically in some ways now on Payday, there's just this chaotic talking over each other and the way we're communicating. You know how Ion can keep it all straight in an infinite manner? That Ion is working with you to set that purple sign in motion so you can have that experience. And I could have a different experience, but directing me the same to the same point. You know, I could see it, the tree that you saw, only I see it in a different way. I actually, I was gonna mention to you, and you remember that property that I was so enamored with 5-6 years ago, and I thought we would never be able to get onto it again, and these random acts that just showed up led me back to it, and I was just visiting there again. I don't think I mentioned this to you earlier this week, or actually Friday.
Oh, really? Wow.
And on the property, which, by the way, has been hugely overgrown. The guy who used to own it was a landscape designer.
Oh.
He spent, I mean, it's the kind of place where you have to spend time with it. Pruning and pulling out, particularly in the Pacific Northwest, where you could grow moss on your arm if you stuck it out the window.
Like Ireland, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, it was a really rainy day, and we were walking around and getting soaked. And one of the features of that property was this Tibetan cherry tree. And the bark in the sunlight, when the sunlight's on it, I knew what it looked like. When it looked like that, it's magenta.
Oh my God.
The reddest. It looks like, Terry used to refer to it as like menstrual blood. And this was the queen, this was the queen of the, this tree, very female and is the queen of that property. I don't think there's even another one in the whole, West Coast.
Really?
It was some exceptionally rare Tibetan tree that he imported and brought over here and put on his property. He did that with several trees. But she was still there. But how interesting with all the redness to it. And there was another one that was a just beautiful umbrella of red leaves. So, you know, I don't know that I didn't see it that way when I watched Game of Thrones, but of course, you're talking about the silhouette as well, right?
Of the tree?
Yeah. Does it look like the ones in your paintings?
Well, I mean, I don't have red leaves like that. I mean, they're green and they have, like I said, the labyrinth painting has a couple red leaves in it, but. No, I mean, it's pretty close. I was like, wow, look at that.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'll go back and I can, I know the person renting the house there, and I can go back and take a photo of that tree. Be interested to see what you, send it to you and see what you think. Anyway, so we were just trying to make a bigger experience into our small ones, which are really big.
Mm-hmm.
If we knew how really big we are. It might surprise
us. Yeah, I'm not too into the whole collective thing.
No.
It seems like the wrong word to me, because I guess having done the whole New Age thing.
Yeah, no shit. What would be another word? You said overlaid or overlapping.
Yeah, kind of overlapping, bleeding through.
Which is kind of cool because it also implies the layers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of the timelines or the grids and the in our lives. They did start to talk. There was some discussion. I didn't hear the end of it. I haven't listened to the whole show from last week, but Bob was talking about there's having two of us here in this dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And then, did you hear this part? And then there's more, you know, and then in the next dimension, there's another one of you and another one of you and the 12 JWs, what that actually.
Yeah, I heard him talk about that. Yeah, the 12 JWs.
In that I mean, if we're so unlimited in our, can you say carnation? Coronation. And how those experience overlay, experiences overlay and overlap. Does JW, do all the JWs know of each other because of his openness, the way he has stepped into who he is? He's probably aware of all that he is doing, except that remember the story is about when he would be doing something in Atlanta and doing something in New York, and he wasn't aware of those. I think he is now, though.
In part, another one of him mowed down all his lawn or something.
Right,
or
that one.
Trees. Yeah.
And then the other one was having a session with Sasha.
Yeah.
And then the other one's apologizing for not making it.
Yeah. Well, no, you were there, actually. Oh, good.
But that made me think of something. It was, oh, I know. This is pretty big from last week, I thought. Although I know, I believe you and I have seen this go on before or knew that it could happen. Did you hear Ion say that they weren't broadcast, they weren't going through any JW?
Oh, yeah, I've heard that. I didn't
mm-hmm.
hear him say that last time. That's interesting.
Yes, that
yeah.
was last week. He said, no, we're not using. So somebody, I think Eliza might have asked, or somebody asked, which JW was this?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, none of them. We're not
yeah.
using JW.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. No AI inference there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not at all. What do you mean?
Well, I think that encouraged the magnetic discussion again, and then wires and magnets, and how we're broadcasting or what we don't need to connect. What we don't need to use to connect. Yeah, so I know Ion doesn't need anything to.
Well,
I've never felt
no.
like he needed a host.
A host. Oh my God.
A host victim. Yeah.
That's not a nice picture.
Yeah,
I try not to try to figure. I tend to not try to figure that out too much.
Nope.
It's like the delivery system is not too important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know the content is incredible, so.
Yeah, which is also why I think we ended up there, you know, finding this when we did, and also not mm-hmm. needing any parlor tricks to.
Right.
Or any proof of any kind.
Yeah. I'm sure I needed validation in the past for different things, though. I mean, you know.
Did you say you have needed it?
I'm sure I have. I mean, you know, it was always the validation. Well, maybe it just, it feels good. Maybe I don't need it, but oh yeah, like, oh, cool, that's validation.
Yeah.
Once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, the old New Agey stuff that we used to pay attention to, and I mean, that was kind of the springboard for not necessarily needing validation, because even though it was just another belief system or religion, New Age to me was, because it was just another doctrine to follow that made you not step into your own power.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a nice springboard for not needing proof. It was like a segue to, no, that's all you need to know is what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And pay attention there. And that's your guidance, which brings you back to knowing. Yeah, I can remember.
That's a very female thing, knowing what it feels like.
Mm. I find Dave actually is very much that way, particularly for being a scientist. He's satisfied with I know in himself.
Right.
Which.
That is unusual for being a scientist.
Mm-hmm. Makes for an easier operating system, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
For ourselves. Question, but don't question with the intention to disprove or trump yourself. You question for the fun of it and the curiosity. Maybe that's what Bob's trying to get at with the wanting people to ask more questions.
Well, the I did say you got to participate. You did that on Friday.
I heard that too, yeah. Engage or participate?
No, I don't know. Which word did he use? I thought it was participate. It might have been engage.
Maybe they use both. But yeah, you got to participate here. Now, is that Bob's wish?
Well, you think he was projecting?
No, just doing what they're told.
That mind control.
Bob control, ion control. Yeah, so I think it's great to participate. I just don't know that you can define or limit what participation is.
Well, I'm sure Bob would include calling in on payday as a mandatory participation function.
Yes. And look at how many people do, even sporadically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are a few of us who dropped out for quite a while and then came back in and then. But again, I don't feel there's an urgency.
Well, I mean, it's about playing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty fun most of the time.
Yeah. You don't want to talk about the times it's not. Remember?
Yeah, because you and I off camera have noticed.
Yeah.
have had conversations about how things are can be very irritating.
Is it time for us to stop the recording?
Probably the...
In the Gaga's moment, so we don't dip our toes into the... the sullied fountain.
All part of the contrast.
Yep.
Like Ian said, you'll be good with their house burning down, but a doorknob will drive you crazy. So...
That is what's going on, for sure.
Because there's just some things that just... Well, throw me off the deep end.
Well, thank you. This was fun.
Thank you. That was fun.
And we'll head into another. I would like to discuss maybe the Dark Horse song again. Or
yeah,
not
yeah.
again.
Yeah.
But at some point.
That was
there's so many subjects we could attend to.
Yes.
Maybe get a few more guests.
That'd be good.
To join in.
More.
So if anybody wants to join in, they could.
Well, not just anybody.
No, I guess I was going to say they could wait for us to call. No.
Because we got that annoyance thing going on here.
Yeah,
anyway.
I think it will be a calculated moment. All righty.
All right.
It was nice talking to you.
Talk to you later. You too.
Bye.
Bye.